Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
Hello again. As the man said, Kevin Herr filling in for Steve Jones, who continues his R&R. A best of Steve Jones show today that includes some of the best interviews over the last month or so. Dave Paulson of the Bucknell Bison, when he was hanging out with Mike Muscala on draft night. We'll have our interview with Mike Muscala as well, right after he got drafted and before he went to the Summer League in Vegas. And of course, we'll get you updated on his situation as well right before that interview. Tony DeFazio, the Pittsburgh Sports Report, talks a little Pirates and Steelers. David Taylor in the second hour of the show, Penn State wrestler, doing some freestyle wrestling this summer. He'll talk about Penn State wrestling and the transition to freestyle and how he kind of has to change himself a little bit, but is definitely, from a fan standpoint, can be a little more exciting than collegiate wrestling. Again, David will talk a little bit more about that. And Bill O'Brien from the recent Big Ten Media Days will get his comments and answers to all the media questions that happened over the last week or so as well. That's all coming up today on the Best of Steve Jones Show. And tomorrow, a Best of Steve Jones Penn State edition. We'll talk Penn State football to get ready for the season that is, well, just about 3 weeks away. So again, all that coming up in the next 48 hours of the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be back with us on Monday when we'll get ready officially for high school football to get underway, as well as Penn State and college football. But first, before Dave Paulson and Mike Muscala, we have Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr in the Sunbury Motors Studio East, Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. They have some great deals going on at both locations. And if you are thinking of trying to pick up a leftover from 2013 or maybe a brand new 14, you might want to check out both dealerships. The Auto Plaza, North 4th Street, Sunbury has lots of stuff to choose from, Hyundai, Ford, and a host of others. And don't forget the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They'll get you set up and ready to go. You can go to all these football games in a brand new vehicle. Maybe make the trip to Penn State in a hybrid and try and save some money on gas. Or maybe you want one of those big tailgate-style Ford trucks. That way you can put all your stuff in there for a nice big tailgate at Penn State football. All that's a great opportunity just waiting to be, you know, taken advantage of at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf with the Kia dealership. As I said, we have the Best of Steve Jones show today. Mike Muscala coming up and talking a little bit about Mike's situation before going to Spain. We chatted with Mike right after he was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. We also had a chance to talk with Coach Dave Paulson of the Bucknell Bison, who was with Mike in Minnesota when he was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. And we got his reaction to one of his players potentially playing in the NBA or at least being drafted in the NBA and being one of two Patriot League players drafted. First time two Patriot League players drafted into the NBA. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, that historic moment with Doug Birdsong of the Bison Sports Network. But now Dave Paulson with Steve Jones on this Best of Steve Jones show.
We bring in the head coach of the Bison, Dave Paulson. Dave, great to have you with us. What was it like last night being around Mike and to see a Bucknell player get drafted in the NBA?
Well, you know, it was really cool. I mean, it's just obviously a dream come true for Mike, but anyone that coaches, and certainly if you coach a place like Bucknell, we're not getting NBA draft choices every other day. So it was really exciting, and my assistant coach Dane Fisher and I had the opportunity to get out there, and you know, we were choked up with emotion. And, you know, it was kind of a little nerve-wracking as once they got into the 30s, you know, when is Mike going to be drafted? But just a really, really neat experience for everyone. And also cool that the Atlanta Hawks had showed the most interest in Mike throughout the year consistently. They really, really wanted him. And I think it's great that he's going somewhere where they really want him and know all of his strengths and even some of his potential weaknesses.
In fact, when it first came up, it was actually Dallas that made the pick for Atlanta, and I thought, Dallas, that's not a good – and then all of a sudden they mentioned Atlanta right away, and that's a great spot for him to land in based on what they want to do with their program.
Well, it is. You know, I've been a big fan of the Spurs and the way they've kind of run their business and,
right.
You know, how they value skilled players and players with high character. And the Hawks are really trying to model themselves after the Spurs. They hired the top assistant from the Spurs. Danny Ferry, you know, was an executive with the Spurs before he went to Cleveland. A lot of the scouts he's stolen from them. And, so you can just see that they're valuing the same types of things. And so I think, you know, they'll live with Mike. They'll grow with him as he continues to mature as a player. And I think that's really positive for them.
My broadcast partner for Penn State football, Jack Ham, was lightly recruited, very lightly recruited. And I remember when he finally got to Penn State, and Joe told me this story, they're going through a couple weeks of practice in Jack's freshman year, and he looked at the other coaches. He said, how did everybody miss on this guy? For you with Mike, what did you see in Mike in the recruiting process? And then when did you say to yourself, gee, how did everybody else miss on this guy?
Well, you know, when we were recruiting him, and it's funny because his high school coach was at the reception last night, and so many people had such an impact on Mike's development. But he was recruiting at these major, you know, AAU tournaments, and I went to watch a kid, and then somebody told me he committed to University of Iowa. And I've been watching film with Mike on the plane right out to Orlando, and I'm like, this kid in Minneapolis is way better. And then I had a chance to see him. I'm like, you know, what are these people thinking? And then I remember Dane Fisher and I going out to watch Mike in the state tournament, you know, after our first season was over. And we were just like kids in a candy store because we just felt like a lot of people missed the boat on Mike. Having said that, you know, he certainly was also the beneficiary of being able to go to a place where he could play a huge role from day one and expand his game that way. So it was a great fit, and I think the same type of thing. I think a lot of people missed the boat on Mike in the draft earlier rounds or earlier selections, but I think he's going to a place that really values him, and I think he's going to have a long career in the NBA.
Yeah, I do too, as a matter of fact. For Mike, in his development, the guy that transitioned from high school to college to now the one that transitions from college to the NBA, what are the differences that you see in Mike as a player compared to the one you had 4 years ago making that first transition?
Well, I think number one, you just have a guy who's very mature. You know, he's just matured a lot. You know, he's continued to mature physically, but his game has matured and evolved. And emotionally, he's just so much more mature. He was a guy that, as a freshman, had all this talent and potential, but, you know, would be hard on himself, would maybe rush some things on the court, would allow frustration to get to him. And so he's just matured so much emotionally and mentally, and I think that's obviously going to be very important to him as he's going to have some ups and downs in the NBA. And I think he's just got such a great understanding of the game and such a versatility. We needed him to morph into more of a dominant inside presence as we made our run to, you know, Patriot League championships. And he may now have to morph a little bit more to what the guys in the NBA call a stretch four and, right. and be more of a perimeter-based guy. But he's got that versatility where he's done a little bit of everything in college, and I think he'll do that in the NBA.
Yeah, Cody Zeller, they're talking about Cody Zeller being a stretch four in the NBA with Charlotte. Mike had a target on his chest probably the last, let's say, 2.5 years of his career at minimum. You have to be able to mentally handle that. What made him special in that way, knowing that he was the number one guy everybody had to take out in every Bucknell game?
Well, I think what made him special was that he was just so passionate about wanting to do his best every single day. I've never seen a guy attack what some other people might think are, you know, less important drills in practice. But as coaches, we know that every drill is important. Well, Mike, as much, if not more than anyone I've ever been around, attacked every single post move without defense when you're warming up or 15-foot jump shot. And he worked so relentlessly hard on his craft. And he was a guy that you gave him something to work on or here's a weakness I want you to address. He did it more than anyone I've ever been around. So, you know, I've had some players that maybe put in more total hours in the gym working on their game. But I've never been around a guy who was more efficient in the time he spent working on his game or is more intense in every single repetition.
In college football, Boise State was able to win signature games and able to get players drafted. What does it mean now for Bucknell that you have won signature games and you now have a player drafted?
Well, we'll find out because hopefully it means we're going to get some really, really good players
right.
To continue that trend. Because at the end of the day, you win the signature games because of players like Mike Muscala and Bryson Johnson and Joe Wellman and those guys and Cameron Ayers obviously coming back. So to keep that going, you know, we need to continue that trend. And so, you know, the YouTube video of Mike hearing his name called. It has been texted to, you know, some of our top targets already. Yeah. So, you know, we're hoping that pays dividends in the recruiting front and so that we can continue to make a name for ourselves and hopefully have somebody else get their name called on draft night in the not-too-distant future.
And for the Patriot overall big picture, C.J. McCollum obviously going to Portland in the opening round to then go in conjunction with Mike. What does that tell the country about the Patriot?
Oh, it tells them what a great league the Patriot League is. And, you know, we had more people picked in the draft than any other mid-major conference in the country. And you know, I was on the phone with the father of a recruit, and we're duking it out with somebody in the Atlantic 10. And it was, well, you know, they play in a higher-profile conference. I'm like, well, will you let me know? This is before the draft. Let me know how many guys from the Atlantic 10 get drafted. And then get back to me. You know, so that the point mm-hmm. being, they're going to find you anywhere. And, you know, in C.J. McCollum's case and in Mike's case, they played huge roles as freshmen, took big shots, you know, to win games as freshmen. And that's how you really develop and mature as a player.
Dave, thanks for the time you gave us. Congratulations to Mike and also to the program because last night was, we mentioned winning signature games. Last night was a signature night.
Well, there's no question about it. Thanks for all your support and your coverage during the year. And hopefully we'll be able to report on another one and not too far down the road.
That sounds great, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Dave Paulson of the Bucknell Bison with Steve Jones as Mike Muscala was, well, actually a day after Mike Muscala was being drafted. Dave was literally on his way back from the Harrisburg International Airport when he joined us on the Steve Jones Show after the NBA draft. Now, Mike Muscala is not playing this year with the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta made some deals where they really didn't need the big man right now. He did play in the Summer League, which we'll hear Mike as he was preparing to play in the Summer League in Vegas coming up in the next half hour. but he will be playing in Spain. And one of the things we were talking with Doug Birdsong of the Bison Sports Network yesterday was that Spain and, well, European-style basketball kind of is in the big man's wheelhouse, where it's more guard play in the States, it's more inside play in Europe. So he, when the Bison made their trip over to Europe, you know, got a chance to see a little bit of the basketball was like there. And Mike, a good fit for Spain and for the team that he's going to be going with in Spain. And I do know the name, I just can't pronounce it correctly, so I'll just leave it at that. But Mike will be playing in Spain this season and will not be playing in the NBA. However, the Atlanta Hawks do retain his rights, so he can be coming back to the NBA in the following season. Of course, we'll keep you posted of that. We're trying to work some time in with Mike before everything gets cranked up in Spain, but his schedule very, very tight, as you would imagine, and it's been very tight since the NBA draft for the former Bucknell Bison standout. But we'll talk with Mike Muscala and have the interview with Mike right after being drafted, coming up in the next half hour after the news here on the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. As the man said, Kevin Herr in for the vacationing Steve Jones, and this is the best of Steve Jones. We have interviews with Tony DeFazio, the Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up. Next half hour, David Taylor talking about freestyle wrestling this summer. And we'll have Bill O'Brien from the Big Ten Media Day. And tomorrow's Best of Steve Jones Show will focus on Penn State football with our guests. Mike Muscala was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks recently, and we had a chance to talk with Mike immediately following the draft before he went into basketball play in the Summer League in Vegas. And we have a chance to bring you his thoughts and comments about being drafted in the second round of the NBA draft. And we'll catch up on where he's going following the interview with Mike Muscala here on the Steve Jones Show.
One of the true greats in the history of Bucknell basketball, who is now a member of the Atlanta Hawks. We welcome in Mike Muscala. Mike, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Mike, I want to talk about what draft night was like for you, because it's look, there's 60 players that go in this thing. I'm sure you had all sorts of different reads from late first to middle second. What was the night like for you, especially once it got after 9 o'clock?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't as anxious as I thought I would be. I think I had a lot of great family and friends around me, and at that point I'd, you know, been through quite a 2.5 month stretch there getting ready for the draft, so I knew I kind of did everything in my power to put myself in a good position. And, you know, I think I slipped more than most people would think, but I ended up in a great place in Atlanta, and I knew they really liked me, so I was happy about that.
Did you know right away it was Atlanta? Because, of course, it's announced as Dallas, and they ended up picking for Atlanta. So did you know it was Atlanta right away, or was there a moment where you thought to yourself, I'm with Dirk Nowitzki?
No, I knew right away. My agent called me and told me that Atlanta had traded for the pick, and they wanted me to take me there. So I knew right away.
Okay, now let's talk about the Atlanta situation. They've always been a team that traditionally has been in the middle, which is a tough spot to be in the NBA. They make the playoffs traditionally. They usually, you know, sometimes they get around, sometimes they don't. Your thoughts on being in that situation?
You know, I think coming in as a rookie, you just try to do whatever the coaching staff asks of you, whatever role you can fill in with the veteran players around you. Obviously, their roster situation, they have a lot of free agents right now, so that's kind of in flux. But, you know, I think especially my first year, just coming in and showing that I'll be a hard worker and a good teammate, that's the most important goal for me right now.
Mike, let's talk about the process leading up to the draft. I think most fans of the NFL have a pretty good handle on the process. They, you know, there's an all-star game, maybe a senior bowl, combine, take the Wonderlic test, individual workouts. What was your regimen like from the end of the Bucknell season to draft night?
Yeah, so I played in the Reese's All-Star game that was actually in Atlanta early April at the Final Four. And then from there, I started working out on Long Island. That was from about mid-April to, you know, through the combine. So that was, you know, I would go back and forth to school to finish up. I'm going to go back for graduation. And then once May 31st hit, I was on the road for the entire time. I had 15 workouts And I was traveling all over the country working out for different teams. And then I just came home for the draft. So.
You mentioned the 15 workouts. Did you have a sense Atlanta was very interested in Mike Muscala as you went through those workouts?
Yeah, I did, because I worked out here twice. They wanted me back for another workout. So and I kind of got that gist. And I had interviewed with them at the combine, and I knew my coaching staff at Bucknell, Coach Paulson, and Coach Fisher and Coach Kelly and Coach Lee had been in touch with their administrative office. So I knew they had a lot of interest.
Mike, what was the interview like at the combine? What was really the direction of the questions that they went with?
I think just trying to get a sense of who I was as a person. I think, I left that interview with them thinking very highly of them, and they told me the same, that we both felt like it was, kind of a genuine interaction, and, they seemed like really good people, and I thought that was the best interview that I had throughout the whole workout process. So, even now, working with them now, it's been a pleasure.
Also, an important part of the process is selecting an agent. What was that process like for you, and why did you settle the way you did?
So Coach Paulson was a great help. He fielded all, inquiries throughout the year, and I just directed all agents who wanted to talk to me to him throughout the year. And then when the season was done, we sat down, and he had narrowed it down to 5 people, and they all came out to Lewisburg to present to me. And after that, we all kind of sat down, talked about what we thought, and then I ended up choosing Sean Kennedy from Excel Sports, and he's been great so far. He's been great.
For you, you come out of high school, and, I had related the story to Dave Paulson the other day. I said, my broadcast partner, Jack Ham, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. Nobody yep. wanted him when he came out of high school. In fact, he was a last guy taken here at Penn State by Joe Paterno. And remember, yep. And Joe related the story to me once, Mike. He said, the first 2 weeks of camp when Jack was a freshman, he looked around at everybody and said, how did everybody miss on this guy? And I related that to Dave in relation to you. You go to Bucknell, which ended up being great. But what was do you remember the recruiting process and what that was like and why Bucknell really stuck out to you in the end?
Yeah, I think right away when I visited Bucknell, and I'd obviously talked to Coach Paulson and Coach Fish on the phone, through the recruiting process. But when I went to visit in August, that was before all the students were on campus, the vibe I got from just the overall, town of Lewisburg and the campus itself and just the people that I met on that trip, I knew right away. So I'm big on vibes, and I got a really good vibe from it, and obviously it turned out to be a really fun 4 years.
Where did you feel that you made your greatest strides as a player that put you in a position to be an NBA player?
I think a lot of areas, to be honest with you. I think I was in really good shape. I think, especially my shooting, that was a big part of what the coaches helped me with. When I first came in as a freshman, I hadn't shot much outside shots in high school, and they worked on that every day with me. And I think that's what a lot of NBA teams liked about me. It was the fact that I had size, but I could also shoot.
And not only that, but late game, you're an 80%+ free throw shooter. I mean, just get the ball into the big guy because he's going to get a couple for you. How many free throws a day did you typically put up to make sure you continue to be a great free throw shooter for 4 years?
I think after every practice, we would shoot 30, and then we'd have like a free throw ladder. So it would be you want them to be at the top of the ladder, and if you lost, you would go down a spot. So we'd have matchups every day. But I think for me, just not necessarily the amount I shot, but kind of the situations I put myself in, shooting them after I was really tired, kind of more like a game-like situation.
For you, what has your family meant to you through all this?
Oh, they meant a lot. Their support has been unwavering throughout, my whole career. But they're here, every step of the way. They organized a great draft party for me and my family, other family members and friends. It was a great time. And my best friend, Peter, too, who's been with me all the way, too. It's been really special to have them.
We're with Mike Muscala of the Atlanta Hawks. And, Mike, now let's get to the teammate part of it. You went through all the way through with Bryson Johnson, with Joe Willman. The fact that you all grew together and helped Bucknell get to the heights that they were able to reach, what kind of satisfaction do you leave the fact that you worked with them?
Oh, a ton. Bryson was actually able to make it to the draft party. So he was there along with Coach Fawcett and Coach Fisher. So it was great to see him there. Really special to share with him. So, you know, I'm definitely going to miss those guys. And not only them, but the guys who are still going to be there for the next year, 2-3 years that I got a chance to play with. So, you know, it's a special camaraderie that we had, and I think it's tough to find that anywhere else. But I'll be following them, and they know I'll be watching. So,
NBA has the Summer League. Will you be participating in that with Atlanta?
Yes, in Vegas. That's the plan.
And when will that take place?
That begins July 14th, I believe. We're going to be flying out there a few days before for practice, and goes from the 14th to the 22nd, I want to say.
Give us a feel for what the Hawks' current situation is as you see it and how they related it to you.
Their current roster situation?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I have no idea. I think, obviously, I know their guys that they have signed right now, Al Horford, Mike Scott, you know, John Jenkins, and I got a chance to meet them. Yeah. But besides that, I, you know, coming in as a rookie right now, I have no clue in terms of what they're looking at for free agency and stuff. And so.
Well, it's an exciting road for you. I mean, how do you feel now, at least knowing that that process is over and now you start the process of, as a professional? How do you feel about that, Mike?
I feel great. You know, I think Bucknell really prepared me well for the shoes that I'm in now in terms of just, you know, being able to be professional and managing my time. You know, I think with Bucknell, you know, you finish practice, you have so much work to do from a homework standpoint and academic standpoint. So I find myself now with all this free time on my hands. And so I think, you know, I think it's helped me prepare so well. And I'm excited to make basketball my, you know, my priority. Well, it's always been my priority, but, you know, my job, and just kind of really focus on it, you know, more. So.
Plus you already have your degree on top of it. What also did it mean to you finally to have C.J. McCollum also go in the first round to Portland, where two Patriot players ended up going in the draft out of 60?
Yeah, no, that was great to see. I think it's great for the league. I think it, you know, it proves that, you know, these teams wanted me to play in, you know, these draft workouts against quote unquote higher major players. But I think when you see that, you know, see that the fact that there's two players out of 60 that are from the Patriot League, I think that. That shows that the Patriot League deserves more respect from a national level, for sure.
Mike, you're one of those guys that makes people feel like it's a privilege to watch college basketball. What you did academically, what you did on the court, how you present yourself, and how you're going to handle yourself in the future. I think a lot of people are proud to say that they actually saw you play and were around you for 4 years. Thanks for everything you've done for Bucknell, but also at the same time, we wish you nothing but the best because you do deserve that.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Mike Muscala, the Atlanta Hawks. Great to have Mike on the show. And you want to talk about someone who is an absolute credit to the game of basketball, a credit to a university. Mike Muscala is all that and much more. We thank him for the time he gave us today. Mike Muscala, who is affectionately known in the Bucknell family as Moose, right after he was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. And as I mentioned earlier, did play in the Summer League, and we talked with him before he was making the trip out to Vegas. He did play in the Summer League, had pretty good numbers in very short minutes in Summer League. Instead of sending him to the D League, the Atlanta Hawks opened the opportunity for him to play in Spain, and he took advantage of that by signing with a team in Spain. So the Atlanta Hawks still hold the rights to Mike Muscala, but he will not be playing in the NBA this year. And again, he's been very, very busy since being drafted. We are trying to catch up with him and get updated on his status and his situation and his thoughts, and hopefully in the coming weeks we'll be able to do that. Coming up in the next few moments, Tony DeFazio, the Pittsburgh Sports Report. This is the Best of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the Best of the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr in the Sunbury Motors Studio East. Time to talk a little Pittsburgh sports with Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report on this Best of the Steve Jones Show.
All right, let's talk about Pirates and Steelers. Bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome back. And this is about as important a stretch as the Pirates have played maybe in 20 years coming up in this stretch, especially after losing 2 out of 3 at Cincinnati over the weekend. They're only 6-9 right now in the month of July, but it's an important time.
Yeah, I can't argue that. And I think, you know, if they can continue to, you know, win more than they lose, we're going to be saying that, you know, a couple of times a month here as the season goes on. I mean, they start the post All-Star break, like you said, in Cincinnati, and they've got the Nationals, and then they've got 5 games because they're making up a rainout from earlier in the year in St. Louis. So it doesn't get much bigger than that, two of these first 3 series, really all 3 against playoff-type teams, and 8 games against teams that they're going to go tooth and nail head-to-head with. And, Steve, I think the difference, too, is the Reds and the Cardinals understand what these kind of games are all about because they've been there and done that and been successful. The Pirates are still trying to prove themselves.
We're also coming up on, 12 days before the trade deadline where you can trade without waivers. And the Pirates or a team, I think, that needs one more bat. I was listening to MLB Network today on Sirius, and the one guy they brought up that they think the Pirates could be serious about is Alex Rios. Anything on that?
You know, I have heard that name thrown out there before. Jim Bowden brought that name up a couple of weeks ago, not necessarily saying there was any activity involving Rios, but saying he was a guy who certainly would fit. And, you know, again, I think that is the kind of, you know, the kind of a player that certainly would help. It would help in 2 ways. One, it would certainly give them a starting right fielder and a bat that they can use. And then, you know, other than that, it turns some other folks into bench players, and it strengthens their bench a little bit that way as well. So, you know, I think that's certainly a possibility. My view has changed somewhat. I thought they needed maybe another arm. I no longer think that. I think they can strengthen the bullpen from within and strengthen the starting rotation, or at least provide depth in the starting rotation from within the organization. But I think a bat and a bench player, I don't think they have anywhere near enough depth when it comes to the non-pitchers. And I think that would it wouldn't bother me if they made a move for strictly a bench player in addition to trying to find a bat.
Right. Yeah, another name that was brought up, but I've heard him actually more closely associated with the Yankees than anybody else, is Justin Morneau, first baseman, which would allow Garrett Jones to then stay in right field. And, you know, you're talking about a former MVP here. The guy can play. So, I mean, it's intriguing to see, because I've heard Rafael Soriano's name with the Reds. And I can't see the Reds standing, Pat.
No, I mean, the Cardinals and Reds are teams that, you know, you know, the Pirates will be trying to improve, but probably so will everybody else within the division. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think it's a lot different, too. Last year was similar. It's tough to make a decision as to whether you're going to be a buyer or a seller if you're one of those teams that's kind of, you know, in the 500 ballpark or sniffing, you know, one of those playoff spots, because, you know, there's an extra playoff spot nowadays. So, you know, it's tougher to sort of fold the cards and say, okay, we're done, you know, than it used to be. Obviously, the Pirates are going to be looking to add, but finding partners might be a little bit more difficult, because I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking to add, just like you mentioned the Reds.
Yeah, because that's going to be one of the keys when it comes to the Philadelphia Phillies. If the Phillies in the next 10 days fall back, I think the door opens for the Cardinals to acquire Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee's from Arkansas. It would be a place that he would say yes to, I think. And that's what I think a lot of Pirate fans have to watch. What happens to the Phillies in the next 10 days? If the Phillies go nowhere the next 10 days and fall further off the pace, the idea of Cliff Lee being a St. Louis Cardinal, I think, becomes closer to a reality.
I think that's a great point. And, you know, again, acquiring somebody like Cliff Lee within the Pirates division is kind of a double whammy. Not only does it strengthen, you know, the Cardinals pitching staff, but it also weakens a Pirate weakness, which is offense, you know, having to deal with Cliff Lee in addition to everybody else on both the Reds and the Cardinals staff makes it that much more difficult. So it's definitely going to be interesting, but I tell you this, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how this team reacts. These players for the most part, have been through this now two straight years, and we'll find out if they've learned anything or if they can come out the other side after the collapses of the past two seasons. Oftentimes, that's what it takes, you know, to be a champion, is to go through that kind of adversity. Well, the Pirates have been through the adversity. Now let's see if they can use it to their advantage.
Steeler training camp about ready to get underway as well. And normally, 10 out of the last 10 years, that's kind of stolen the thunder from the Pirates. 20 out of the last 20 years, just starting at St. Vincent College in La Trobe, has stolen the thunder away. Yeah, here they are. This is one of the few times I think the Steelers are kind of flying a little bit low on the radar. Are they low on the radar in Pittsburgh right now, or is it just it just never can be in Pittsburgh?
Well, I suppose that's relative. I suppose they never can be in Pittsburgh, but they're certainly lower on the radar than they have been, like you said, in about two decades. Now, that could very easily change, you know, with a string of losses here. If the Pirates lose 6 out of 8, you know, all the attention again is going to swing right back over to the Steelers. But this should be an interesting training camp, because one thing that is different, Steve, for the Steelers is there's a lot of guys battling for positions, and that turnover that's been taking place the last year or so is kind of hitting full stride right now, as a lot of young guys are trying to replace veterans. Whether they can do so successfully or not, I guess we'll tell the story of the season.
This is probably the biggest coaching challenge Mike Tomlin's had. You're around him all the time. Does he have the temperament to take care of a challenge like this? Because he's had a lot of things roll his way. I think he's also in the division where I think the defending Super Bowl champions are about to fall back 3 or 4 games too.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point about the Ravens, and it should be interesting with Tomlin. I think he started to assert himself. I think he fully understands that this is going to be a big challenge, and that, you know, he's really trying to assert himself. Not that he wasn't the leader of this team before, but when you have so many veterans, you know, those guys kind of do a lot of the leading on their own. Well, that's not the case anymore. The Casey Hamptons, the Max Starks, the Aaron Smiths, the Hines Wards, those guys are gone. And, you know, it's going to be up to guys like Ben Roethlisberger, you know, Maurkice Pouncey, who frankly didn't get off to that great of a start with what, you know, with his choice of attire over the past week or so.
Right.
You know, those guys are going to need the lead, and Tomlin's going to have to sort of take control there. And he's been doing that throughout the first two camps, the OTAs and the mini camp, but now it's for real.
And then there's Troy Polamalu. Do they have bubble wrap to protect him?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of sad, because that's just the state of this guy's career right now. He's a down by down player, and I think sometimes you forget how great he was or how great he can be when he is 100%. He's just never 100% anymore, Steve, and it seems like it takes a couple, you know, only a couple of plays and a couple of tackles to get him dinged up again. So, you know, I guess while he's 100%, you use him, and you just sort of cross your fingers and hope that can last, you know, until the next play and then the next play, because that's pretty much what it comes down to with him.
You cannot put a price on instincts at no matter what age. He always has impeccable instinct on the field, and that's why I think you've seen a Steeler team that statistically is superior, but performance-wise is not.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, and certainly I think that was the case last season, no question about it. You know, when you read about last year and you read about their number one ranked defense, it doesn't seem to jive with what we saw on the field, and I think you summed that up pretty well with what you just said. So, you know, again, the defensive line, a lot of these guys are going to have to, you know, take a step up, the Cameron Haywards and the Ziggy Hoods, and you know, the guys like Lamar Woodley are going to have to play to their potential. He's done it before. Can he get it back? And I think, that, you know, again, a couple of bounces is all that it takes between 6 and 10. And 10-6, so we'll see which one befalls the Steelers.
All right, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report on this Best of the Steve Jones Show. Interviews, David Taylor, Penn State wrestler, talking about freestyle wrestling in the next hour, and Bill O'Brien from the Big Ten Media Day News Conference. Some interesting questions and some great answers from Coach Bill O'Brien. Tomorrow, we talk about all Penn State football on the Best of the Steve Jones Show. Stick around next hour, coming up after the news on News Radio 1070 WKOK.